In today's gospel, Christ teaches that we must accept God's kingdom as a child does. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The Pharisees approached Jesus and asked, "Is it lawful for a husband to divorce his wife?" They were testing him. He said to them in reply, "What did Moses command you?" They replied, "Moses permitted a husband to write a bill of divorce and dismiss her." But Jesus told them, "Because of the hardness of your hearts, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, no human being must separate." In the house, the disciples again questioned Jesus about this. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." And people were bringing children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he became indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not prevent them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Amen, I say to you, whoever does not accept the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it." Then he embraced them and blessed them, placing his hands on them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
It happened at a child care home out in the Midwest several years ago. There was this little girl, no parents, no family whatsoever. That's why she was in the child care home, who was kind of she was 7 or 8 years old. She was kind of a quiet child, didn't mix with the other children very well. They with her. So one day, one of the staff members noticed her writing a letter, and she was surprised because the child had nobody. Who could she be writing a letter to? So the staff member watched, and the little girl wrote the letter, wrote whatever it was, folded it up, put it in an envelope, sealed the envelope, and she took the letter out of the house, walked across the courtyard to this little fence that bordered the property, and she threw the letter over the fence out into the street. So a little while later, the staff member, wondering what was going on, went out and retrieved the letter. And she opened it. This is what the little girl had written. "To whoever finds this letter, I love you. To whoever finds this letter, I love you." Tear your heart out, wouldn't it? This little girl, so isolated, so lonely, nobody to say to her, "I love you," or to say for her to say, "I love you" back to. How sad. But I think it points out, sad as it is, the meaning, at least, of the first lesson of today's Mass, the reading of the book of Genesis. Because what does God say in that reading? "It is not good for the man to be alone." It is not good for the human person to be alone. "I'll create a helpmate for him." He creates a woman, brings them together, gives them to one another. Of course, it refers in the first place to marriage, but it refers to more than that. It refers to the fact that every single one of us is not meant to be alone. We're meant to have people in our lives that support us, walk with us, share the good times, help us through the bad times, and we in turn them. We're meant to be together, to walk through life together. None of us is meant to be alone, whether it's a spouse, other family members, good friends. We are meant to be together. Now, there's a difference, of course, between being alone and being lonely. There are times when all of us like to be alone. I mean, those of you who are parents and have children know what it's like to come home after a hard day of work, to be exhausted, to walk into the house, and pandemonium. Kids are running around, the television's blaring. The last thing you want is that. You want to go someplace all by yourself and just crash. There are times when we all need to be alone. But that's different than being lonely, having nobody to share life with. That's not what God intends. God intends all of us to have somebody, some others to share our lives with. You know, there are studies that are being made currently in the United States. And it seems that there are many, many people in this country today who are lonely. They're lonely. Are you lonely? Are you lonely? If so, why? You know, there are some forms of loneliness that are really situational loneliness. You know, a college student goes off to college for the first time, for the first few weeks, they're lonely until they make new friends. Somebody's on a business trip or away in the military service for a while. They're lonely because they're separated from those that they love and that love them. But those situations usually resolve themselves in time. But what about if you're lonely all the time? Why would that be? Why? Maybe there are some people who have driven people away. You know, if I'm one of those people or you're one of those people where it's always got to be my way, I'm always right, I've always got to have the last word, we're going to do the things I want to do, I can drive people away. If not physically, at least emotionally, I can drive them away and I can be lonely because I'm that kind of a person. But I'd like to suggest something else to you today that maybe is more prevalent in our society anyway. I wonder if we can be lonely. A lot of people are lonely because they hide themselves, the true selves, from one another. We put on masks. We put up a false persona. We don't want anybody to really know the way we really are because we're afraid that if they knew the real me, the real you, they wouldn't like us. They'd reject us. So we hide. We hide from one another, even from those who are closest to us in many other ways. We hide. You know, if that's the situation, you know, for example, suppose you put up a false persona, or I do, and people like that. People respond to that. They think we're wonderful. That's not the real me. If I call somebody my friend and somebody thinks they're my friend to a false me, are they really my friend? So if we hide our real selves from one another, we're going to be lonely. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that everything that's in our mind and in our heart is to be shared. There are times when there are things that need to be kept quiet and private. But if we hide ourselves too often and too much from other people, we will be lonely. You can be at a party with your closest friends and be lonely when they don't know the real you. You can be lying in bed next to your spouse and be lonely if that person doesn't know the real you. That's not what God intends. That's not what God intends at all. There's an old saying, I don't know where it comes from, it's very powerful. The secretive heart will always be lonely. The secretive heart will always be lonely. So let me conclude today with the lyric of a song some of you might know. It comes from Simon and Garfunkel. They wrote a lot of very powerful songs. This one is called The Dangling Conversation. The lyric paints a picture of this married couple sitting in a beautiful home, a beautifully appointed den. They're sitting there, and both of them are reading. They're together, but they're not really together. And the lyric goes like this. I read my Emily Dickinson, and you your Robert Frost. And we measure the place with bookmarkers that measure what we've lost in the dangling conversation and the superficial sighs at the borders of our lives. The dangling conversation, the superficial sighs at the borders of our lives. God means us to be together, to support one another. To do that, we have to be willing to let people know who we are and let one know who they are. Let them show us who they are. If not, remember, the secretive heart will always be lonely. May God bless you.